This is the History Podcast. Now, here's your host, Jason Thomason.
Welcome to the History Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Thomason, and today, this is episode 50, and it's kind of hard to believe that I've done 50 episodes. I never thought I would do one, much less 50, and I sincerely want to thank those of you in our small little community of people who have supported this podcast over the last few years. You've given me more confidence to do more of these. I never saw myself as somebody that could do one of these. And so I appreciate your kind words through the years and your support that have given me the courage to do more of these. I also want to thank, we just got our analytics back over the 2023 year. And we had 16 different countries besides the United States download at least one episode of our podcast. And so I thought that was pretty cool to see. And so I want to thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Continue to support, continue to share, and continue to grow the podcast. So today, what I want to do is talk about yet another assassination attempt on a president's life. And that is one that is far less known than the others that we have talked about this season. And that is the assassination attempt on Harry S. Truman. Harry S. Truman is a kind of a guy who gets lost a little bit in historical shuffles. He's not the charismatic leader of an FDR, the guy he follows after his death in 45. He's kind of seen as a cold individual that doesn't play the role of president the way that many would like him to play. He took over the presidency in a very difficult period of time. I mean, the war in Europe had just ended. There was still work to do in Japan. And one of the first decisions he has to make is the decision on what do we do with Japan. Iwo Jima and Okinawa had already been taken. Now the stage is set. Do we go in the traditional way and potentially lose up to 500,000 American lives, or do we drop a new weapon that the world has never seen or used before in combat, potentially killing anywhere from 250,000 upwards of 500,000 Japanese lives? And sometimes we can tend to just brush over that and think that that decision was obvious because, he's an American. He's got to make that decision to drop the bomb to save American lives. And while it was an obvious decision for the president of the United States, it doesn't make that decision any easier. Imagine being the man responsible for giving the go-ahead to take the lives of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people. You don't even know what it's going to look like in the aftermath, but you know, based on what your military advisors have told you, that's the likelihood. And when you read Truman's memoirs, this is not something that he just, eventually gets over. I don't think you ever get over a decision like that. I don't know how you could. But one thing that we do know about Truman, based on that decision, is that he's ready for the moment. A lot of people did not think that Truman was ready to take office at that particular time. FDR was so pivotal in our success in World War II. A lot of Americans feared that all the momentum that had been built was now lost in this new president from the state of Missouri. But Truman proved otherwise. It's not widely known, but four U.S. presidents have fallen victim to assassins' bullets, and several others have narrowly escaped such attempts. Today, we want to focus on an event that happened 13 years prior to arguably the most infamous assassination in modern history, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. But today we want to focus on Harry S. Truman. On November 1st, 1950, two Puerto Rican nationalists by the name of Oscar Collazo and Griselo Torricella embarked on a journey that would forever change the course of Secret Service history. Their goal? To draw national attention to the cause of the Puerto Rican Nationalist Party. The Puerto Rican Nationalist Party was founded in 1922, and it advocated for Puerto Rican independence from the United States. By 1950, under the leadership of charismatic President Pedro Campos, the party had escalated its methods, orchestrating armed uprising against U.S. military in Puerto Rico. The climax of their radical actions was the attempt to assassinate President Truman. This decision was fueled by reports of U.S. military reprisals against nationalists in Torricella's hometown just a day before the attempt. Torricella, an experienced gunman, armed himself with a P-38 and a German Luger. His task was to teach Collazo, a family man with very little firearm experience, how to wield a pistol. On the morning of November 1st, 1950, the duo found themselves near Capitol Hill, dressed in their new chalk-striped suits with pistols hidden in their waistbands. They went sightseeing, blissfully unaware of Truman's relocation from the White House to Blair House due to renovations. The clock ticked, and as Truman enjoyed his customary afternoon nap at Blair House, Collazo and Torricella approached. A gunshot rang out, signaling the beginning of the longest gun battle in Secret Service history. Collazo's first shot failed to fire, but the second found its mark in White House police officer Donald Birdsell's knee. Secret Service members alerted by the noise swiftly emerged, firing bullets into Collazo. Torricella, meanwhile, ambushed Officer Leslie Coffett, fatally shooting the officer. Truman, who was obviously awake because of the gunfire, went to the window to see what was going on. But it was the swift response by the Secret Service that averted Truman's potential demise. They told him to get away from the window. I mean, imagine if he had not heeded their warning to get down. The entire exchange lasted really less than a minute, but left a lasting impact. In 1951, Congress passed legislation expanding the Secret Service's purview to protect not only the president, his family, the president-elect, but also the vice president. But Collazo is arrested, he's tried, and he is convicted, and he is sentenced to death. But Truman, a week before Collazo's scheduled execution, is going to commute his sentence to life in prison in 1952. Truman believed that he was never in real danger. And I think that is because of his full trust in the Secret Service. Truman also expressed his regret for the unnecessary casualties of this event. The aftermath of this attempt on his life paved the way for the modern Secret Service, shaping the security procedures that we know today. And I really hope that you're seeing how the Secret Service is evolving through all of these episodes. In 1979, President Jimmy Carter will commute Collazo's sentence to time served. And Collazo will go back to Puerto Rico, where he will eventually pass away in 1994. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for listening to the History Podcast. I would ask that you rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast so that you get notifications on when new episodes are released. I would also ask that you check out our new YouTube channel, at The History Podcast Show. All one word, at The History Podcast Show. We got a lot of resources there. We're going to have a lot more in the weeks and months to come, so go check that out. Also, subscribe to that as well. And as always, guys, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. We'll see you next time.
Jaqueline. Where's Jaqueline at? No Jaqueline here?
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's gonna be.